Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with his guests.
I'm John DeSando.
I'm Wayne Miller.
Now look, we may be highbrow,
but
we have to review for the people.
Yes.
All right.
And we do, and why I love Margot Robbie so much.
What movie?
Suicide Squad. What else? What else is out there playing right now? Yeah. But she's a good West Side type of girl.
She is. I like her a lot.
I do too. And boy, that she had a great ensemble cast with her this time.
I'll tell you, James Gunn is the director.
Yes.
He did Marvel side, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which was, to me, the best of the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So
as far as fun movies.
So he comes to direct the losers of the DC crowd.
The losers they are. God love them.
And the key for both of those, the one he saved both franchises, is the sense of humor.
Yes, yes, definitely. Yeah, I wonder what he could have done if he had done Black Widow, because that had a great sense of humor, particularly by the little girl.
But nowhere compared with this one.
This is over the top, which has made it so much fun.
This is Comedy Central.
Yes, is. It is. And your written review of the movie that you posted on WCBE, I thought was spot on, and I liked how you opened it by talking about, you know, you do this, you die. You die, as they're telling these people. And she comes back with, you know, our little Harley Quinn character, marvelously played by Margot Robbie. But she comes back, you have personalized license plates, you die. But there's so many throwaway lines.
Oh,
I'd like to see it again.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Yes.
So when we get a free moment, we ought to go back and see it, and we'll be the only ones in the theater again.
Yes. This was a sellout crowd. There must have been maybe a dozen other people in the theater with us, which, of course, we made up since there were four of us there, five of us, you know, we made up a good 1/3 of the audience.
We did.
And we're hooting and hollering and laughing, carrying on.
Look, I listed by handwritten, I did.
Oh,
okay. I mean, I couldn't copy from IMDb. There's such a big cast.
Yes.
But the ones that I was most impressed with, and I have 10 characters.
Oh, who are they?
That struck me as a part of the reason this is such a successful film is that even their minor characters, Gunn somehow, magically, and this is what I like to see, made them memorable characters, and yet they have just a short time each to establish themselves.
Yes, and at the beginning, the first squad that basically went into you talk about Hitchcock's MacGuffins, and here the MacGuffin here that you really don't care about is this like little South American island nation, you know, that has this dictator and has the weirdest looking little multicolored starfish monster.
Yes, right.
Which I thought was, in a way, hysterical, as it's huge, and when it breaks out, it's lumbering around, and it looked like, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Well, listen, every time it sucks up somebody, it gets bigger.
And shoots out all these, like, smaller starfishes that latch, and it reminded me of the John Hurt character in Alien, when he gets that thing wrapped on his face.
Exactly.
These people are walking around with, look like a big eyeball, which is the belly of these little starfishes. But oh my God.
Well, look, they're all going to shut down the dictatorship at this small island off of South America, maybe?
Something I don't know,
I forget.
Like
anyway.
Yeah. They all look like Castro rejects in a way.
And they start out with a very stern Viola Davis as the director of their black ops.
Who does a great job.
Oh, she's a wonderful foil for all of them.
Yes. Not only the villains that she springs from jail to send them on this suicide mission, almost like a Dirty Dozen.
Right. Yes, it is.
But what I got a kick out of were some of the other supporting people, like the nerds who worked for her in the control room.
Oh, yes, exactly.
And they're joking around. It reminds us of a number of young people we've worked with at Franklin University, right. You know, just kind of nerdy people that really take her to task.
And what I love too, underneath them is their willingness to overthrow her.
Yes, yeah.
You're right. So you've got insurrections going on all over the place,
which winds up, and it's funny that the first Suicide Squad that had at the very end a bit of a preview, so to speak, during the end credits of that one was basically Batman, and played by Ben Affleck, meeting Viola Davis about something. Here, one of the characters, and we won't give it away, but who's killed off, and then in the end, which once again, like the Marvel movies, you got to stay to the end. And here are her nerds saying, he's alive. Well, you know, we'll revive him in time to save the world.
Yes,
whatever,
yes.
Setting up like, oh. But
so this is, you're reminding me, this is the Suicide Squad, different from the 2016 Suicide Squad, which was a failure.
Yes, yeah. And I like, it was still enjoyable, but this one, much more so, because I really liked the supporting cast of John Cena. Idris Elba.
Idris Elba provides a little bit of weight as the leader of this. But he and Cena have a great combination there. Trying to figure out who's the best killer or the better killer between the two of them.
Yes.
And Cena is really riding high these days.
With Vin Diesel playing Vin Diesel's little brother.
Right, yeah.
You know, in the Fast and Furious 9
exactly.
or something like that. But he's good. But in this one, he comes off as a very over-eager, taking notes, you know, and the rest of them are all just kind of sitting around, you know, as Viola was telling him about the mission. He's studiously taking notes and is very methodical in what he's going to
do. He's a kind of super right-wing.
Yes.
I mean, and so a balanced Idris Elba, who's hardly that. But Cena is, he plays it just, absolutely just right.
What was it they said? Wearing a toilet on his head? No, it's not a toilet. It's a helmet of, truth or whatever.
And he says, he's called the peacemaker.
Yes.
He says,
yes.
I support peace at any cost. Which.
It's almost like Orwellian doublespeak.
Oh, listen, and it is. It is the way that Gunn structures it so that he comments upon the United States as it intrudes on other places.
Yes, yes.
And it's very nicely done because it passes you by when you hear him say, hey, that could be a satire of the United States and some of its worldwide connections.
Yes.
It's very good. You always have to have the strange one. Now we had
strange ones.
We had Groot in one of the others, right?
Yes, in the
galaxy.
He's one of the guardians of the
galaxy. Yeah, right. So this one we have Weasel.
Weasel. Oh my God! This looked like a giant rat in a way. And no wonder that the rat catcher girl, who I really like.
Yes.
Would take a shine to him since she has such a way with rats. And a little rat with, like, one of those, like, support animal little vests that she carries around with her.
It would be the one you'd have a representation of in your home.
Yes.
She's Daniela Melchior.
Yes.
And I think we have something to see from her. As far as Weasel goes, that's Sean Gunn.
Yeah.
And I suspect he's related.
Yes.
Don't you?
It's a brother.
Oh, it is?
Yes, because something that I read, that it is his brother, and he had some other type of role, like maybe screenwriter. He did something else, and the brothers have worked together before. But yeah, he did a good job.
I know. I think the one underneath all of this, the one you could ignore but you can't, would have to be King Shark.
Yes, Sly Stallone, which at first I'm thinking, oh, man, because I wasn't. In a lot of these movies, even the Guardians of the Galaxy, as cute as they are, the little talking raccoon played by Bradley
Cooper
in that one, and of course Groot, the tree, but and I'm not all that wild about the use of some of this, and I'm thinking, oh man, this giant shark. But I tell you, Stallone does his mumbling.
Yes.
Does a great job on that. As he eats people, and they're leaving, and he's looking at all these dead bodies. Mmm. Num num.
Right, right.
Yeah. I think his rat catcher said, no num num. Yeah.
Well, you know.
As he would chew away.
Just like Stallone himself. He's kind of stupid, but he's lovable.
Yeah, very lovable.
You know,
very.
The king shark, he's eating people along the way.
And he's, but a shark that could walk.
Yeah, and with arms.
Yeah, where's these, like, baggy Levi's, these baggy jeans. I'm thinking, what the hell?
Yeah.
But that was good. But then another one I think was a standout was Polka Dot Man.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. That is the most unusual part of the Suicide Squad. We've seen so many characters, but
yes.
Polka Dot Man is really weird.
Very weird, because he's kind of rather this nerdy, effeminate type of guy who definitely has mother issues.
You think?
Oh my! Well, and at first I'm thinking, why God? What? You know, because as he would get ticked off and throw these polka dots out, look like tiddlywinks, you know, at people to destroy him, and he thinks of his mother.
We have talked about many of the characters. Here's one that I was going to ask you about that isn't such a was to me really an interesting character, but not as weird as the others, except for what he has coming out of his head.
No, oh, the villain, the big villain. Yes, the big bad, as they would call it. And I'm sitting there, and it may have been explained what these things are growing out of his, looked like little curly Q electrodes or whatever.
Yeah. Kind of like the ones on Frankenstein's head.
Yes, but all over the scalp.
Now, we're talking about Thinker. Are we talking about the same one or not?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm talking about the villain, the guy, the big bad, the bad guy.
Yes.
You're talking about
Peter Capaldi playing Thinker. So I'm.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to read.
But that's why I think he's less outstanding than any of them. But he seemed to me, he's kind of both sides, maybe. I don't know. He's helping them, he's not.
I'd have to, you know, because I know that there was a character, the Thinker, but honest to God, I can't.
Well, he's got those plugs coming out of his head.
That's the bad guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's who he is. Yeah. So we're talking the same one then.
I think so.
Yeah.
We may need to go.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad, because there are so many characters here.
Yes.
I'm glad we got at a point where we, like our audience, kind of scratch our heads and say, ooh, now wait a minute. And there is a question
and
as
be
to
be careful
his,
scratching
right,
this guy, guy's head.
To question his loyalty.
Yeah. Because I thought he was the bad guy. He was the one that they were kind of interrogating, you know, and
yes,
saying, you do this, you die, you know, that sort of thing. I think, was he the one that basically kind of trained the big giant starfish or whatever?
Yes, well, he was, exactly. He's the one.
Because the starfish came from outer space, because you see, like,
right.
on a space shuttle or something, the International Space Station, like three astronauts.
Right, I think,
you know,
yes.
With the thing that turns on them, and of course, it's smaller at that point, but then it grows quite a bit. But once again, it's one of those things, trying to make sense out of something that you shouldn't even try to.
No, you shouldn't. You're good. Good. Yes.
That you go into it with a sense of joy of seeing a lot of violence, a lot of humor, and of course Harley Quinn just that looked like her makeup was applied by a drunk, yes. You know. But yeah.
She does go over the top. And, you know, we've talked about her as an actress.
Yeah.
And certainly a most attractive person. And she can play these parts that make her almost ugly.
Yes.
And...
Nominated for Academy Awards for it.
Yes.
She played Tanya Harding.
Yeah, you know.
And, figure skater and everything, the notorious one.
Somebody who kind of passed me by because he was so almost normal was the character played by Joel Kinnaman.
Yes, Colonel Flagg.
Yes, yeah. And he's the assistant to Viola Davis's character? Or?
Yeah. And he was in the earlier one. He was technically the head of the squad.
Okay.
You know, the normal one.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
he
right.
was the normal. You know, I just thought of it right now. If somebody enjoyed the movie The Dirty Dozen, or
yeah,
any of the movies like that, he's the Lee Marvin character.
Good.
Know, who put
great.
Who is in charge of the all these supposed villains that are in jail and stuff like that. That he's the one that kind of is supposed to keep them, you know, on the narrow path to complete the mission.
Yeah.
And basically, they all have something in them, almost like reminds me of Kurt Russell in Escape from New York. That something's implanted in
good.
Him.
Good. Yeah.
If he tries to escape and not
good one. Yep.
Complete the mission, the head blows up. You know, something like that. But he's buffed because I've seen him
in
other
did.
Movies.
Right.
And I don't know if it was a special effect or they put that boy on steroids.
I know, you know.
But he
yes.
was as buff as Idris and Cena.
Right, Cena, know? Right, yeah, yeah. You know, and it's, to me, it reminds me that if it's not CGI, it is that many of these actors really do a lot of work for the short moments they have when they have their shirts off.
Yeah.
And yeah. And we know that's hours a day for months for them to get in that form.
As you can tell, I've never even bothered.
Right. No.
But yeah, you're right. But yeah, he, Flag though, which I thought was kind of interesting, that if he's on the list there.
I've got him just under here.
Okay. The Colonel, yeah. And which is kind of funny because there was a memorable recurring character in the TV series, MASH, that a CIA guy who name was Flag and was a big pain in the butt.
Oh, yes, yes.
But in this, you would think that Harley Quinn has kind of a thing for him.
Okay.
And what's interesting, she has kind of a fling with one of the... Castro-like leaders or whatever.
Yes, right. Over. Country. A short-lived.
Yeah.
Because he's out. Yes, I know.
But there was, but a memorable scene, very bloody, but not quite as bloody, but more like ballet, was when Harley, with like a pole or whatever, just... goes through like nearly an army of
yes,
these guys.
Does. She does.
You know, just kicking butt in slow motion and stuff with her like little weird outfit and little dress on and everything. Just be bopping around.
Well, let's have our final comments for our Back Talk audience. And I'll start out
by
saying that no matter what you think, if you want to get out of the house and you want to have an idea what Cinema Live can do, then I suggest you go to one of your well-appointed cinemas, and you can be there with your family and friends and nobody else.
Yeah.
And you will have a big screen, maybe Dolby sound. You can have a total sensual experience and laugh your butt off
yes.
for at least the first hour and a half. Now, you know, yeah. it can't keep up that intensity.
Yeah.
So it kind of drags.
Yeah, there were points in it, and at the end it was kind of like, okay, enough of these flying starfish.
Right. And so it's just something that I can recommend to you that I think is a really enjoyable night. Go to a happy hour if you can beforehand, the way we do.
Yes.
We're usually in pretty good spirits.
Yes,
by the time
very
we get,
good spirits.
Right. We need it, right. And And it will surprise you, the Suicide Squad. I think because we have some very literate and snobby audience in yes. part of our audience, and yes. they're not just going to say, "What? I just wasted 20 minutes listening to these guys talk about a movie I'm never going to see." Well, I'm going to remind you that we're not stupid. That we have a pretty good idea of what's a good movie and what we can recommend. Yeah. And I just recommend this. How about you?
I strongly recommend it. I enjoyed it. Like you, this is, because of some of the scenes of violence and blood and gore and stuff like that, you want to be kind of careful if you eat during the movie. but no, strongly recommended, and the same thing. I just had a good time, and it. And the one thing that several reviews that I read, that they talk about this, it doesn't take itself so self-serious as some of the Avengers movies.
You know, yes, correct.
It's more like Guardians of the Galaxy, that weird characters, but a lot of fun.
And, you know, it's comic book derived. So what do you have any advice for people as we exit here?
I would say go to it. I strongly recommend it. But be aware that it is violent. It is bloody. There's gore, but also go in with a sense of disbelief. Yep.
And I would add, before I turn off the camera, I would add, suspend your disbelief, please. Just go in and know that it's silly.
Yes. Go and take some popcorn and go num num. Back Talk is produced by John DeSando. Listen to the shows on the podcast experience at WCBE.org.